Good evening. I'd like to welcome any visitors tonight with us. One thing I'd like to stress before we start this message is that we are not representing here any particular group or denomination or anything like that tonight. After a couple of days, we'll be all gone. You'll never see us again, maybe. We're presenting only one thing tonight. That's a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. We just ask God's help. Tonight we bow our heads for a prayer. Our gracious Father, we would ask for thy help now by the Holy Spirit as we open your holy word, as we look at this subject. May the Holy Spirit speak tonight. Oh, Father, we commit it to you. We ask thy blessing in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Turn in your Bible to Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. That's the third book in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke. If you don't have a Bible, you can look on with your neighbor. But mostly, after we read this text, you can just listen to me, unless otherwise directed. Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. That means he lived in luxury. He lived high on the hog, so to speak. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And the Lord will add his blessing to his word for his own name's sake. This is a passage that is often preached on in gospel. And I'm sure that on this very platform, it's been preached many times. And tonight we're going to look at this. But I would imagine that in most of those messages, when the gospel was preached from it, the preacher took up the rich man in Hades. But tonight I'm going to look at the other guy, the poor man, Lazarus, who went to heaven. And as you can see behind me, the subject is heaven. And for the young people, hashtag heaven. It's heaven. That's the subject tonight, okay? Because the gospel is good news. That's what it means. Literally, that's what it means. It's good news, right? And the fact that the way to heaven has been opened up, and that God is calling all men through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for sinners and was raised again from among the dead bodily and ascended to heaven. He's there now in heaven calling all men unto himself. Heaven is open. And I want to look at heaven tonight. And I got four little points here we're going to try to get through. The top four questions everyone asks about heaven. And we see here with Lazarus, if you look in our Bible, our friend Lazarus, it says of him, he was a beggar and he died. And it says that he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died. And notice he was buried. You notice Lazarus was not buried. And the reason why he was not buried, because he was a poor man, a beggar. And in those days in, in Israel and Jerusalem, what they would do with people like that, beggars, street people who died on the street, they would pick up their body and carry them down to a ravine outside the city of Jerusalem. There's a garbage dump with a fire burning, and the body would have been thrown in there. But what happened to Lazarus, actually, his spirit? It says that he went to Abraham's bosom. And that's a term to describe paradise, to describe heaven. And that's what we want to look at tonight. And this is the reality, friends, that when someone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have received him as your Lord and Savior, this is who we're speaking about tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ. When you receive him as your Lord and Savior, when you repent from your sins, you turn to him and receive him as your Savior. When you die, your spirit goes immediately to heaven. In this very gospel, Luke's gospel, Luke chapter 23, there was a thief, and he died on the cross beside the Lord Jesus. And just before he died, he said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And the Lord Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And there was another man in the Acts of the Apostles, the good deacon, Stephen. And he was martyred. He was stoned to death. And as he was dying under the stones, he said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." He saw the Lord Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And the Apostle Paul could say in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that when we're absent, speaking of believers that is, when we're absent from the body, we're at home with the Lord. And in Philippians chapter 1, Paul says to be with Christ, when he's speaking of death, his own death, to speak of his own death there, he says to be with Christ, which is far better. That's what happens when a believer dies. So my first little point here is heaven a real place? There was a poll done by the Pew Research Center in 2014 that found that 72% of Americans believe in heaven and 58% of Americans believe in hell. I'm from Canada. I know they never ask us anything. They always say, I don't know why. We don't believe anything. We don't know anything. But 72% of Americans believe in heaven. 58% of Americans believe in hell. And of those who believe in heaven and hell, 82% believe they're going to heaven, and 2% believe that they're going to hell. That one jumped out at me. Who are these people? Okay. And the rest didn't know. You know something? Before I was saved, I knew I was going to hell. I was one of that 2%. And that's why the gospel is a gospel of grace. It's grace that attracts. God has opened up the way and has called sinners. But the first point here, is heaven a real place? Yes, it is. The Lord Jesus himself said, "I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house there are many abodes, many dwelling places. I go to prepare a place for you." It's a real place. You know, the Bible speaks of heaven sometimes as being up, you know. So-and-so went up to heaven, right? The Lord Jesus ascended up to heaven. So we think of up when we think of heaven. But, you know, skeptics, you know, they'll say, okay, Brian, you're from Canada. You go up, you go this way. But when someone in China dies or goes to heaven, they go that way. He said, how does that work? Right? I heard this preacher, and he said, heaven is in a northerly direction. Well, now think about it, though, because east and west, okay, east never meets west. If you go east, you'll always be going. You'll never meet west, and vice versa. North, there's a pole, right? God has removed our sins as far as the east from the west. They'll never meet. But there's a north, there's a pole, there's on the axis, there's a north pole. And you know there's such things that call a north star, it's called Polaris, the north star, right? And before there were GPS, sailors used to guide by that north star. It was always true north, right? Aligned with the axis of the earth. In fact, when they put cameras up there pointed towards space during the night through the rotation of the earth, you see the stars all rotating around Polaris. It's that fixed true north. And there's a verse in Isaiah, you don't have to turn to it, I'll read it, about the fall of Satan. And it says about Satan, "How thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how thou art cut down to the ground, and you did weaken the nations. And this is what the devil said, I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. And the preacher said, well, that's proof that heaven is north. So you got to go through Canada, I guess, to get to heaven. It's in the north, okay? I don't know. I had to think about that. I don't know really if it's in the north, okay? But the Psalm 78, or actually Psalm 75, I'll just read it. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. It comes from the Lord. It doesn't mention the north. Maybe. And in Leviticus chapter 1, one of the sacrifices that the Jewish people had to offer, the burnt offering, it says, and you shall kill that offering on the side of the altar northward before the Lord. I really had to think about that. It made a little bit of sense to me. But anyway, actually, reality is, I don't think we can gauge heaven by our physics, okay? It's a spiritual realm. And the Lord uses this idea of up. Like the Lord Jesus himself said, I am from above, you are from beneath, right? In terms that we can understand, because heaven is so much higher than us. Not physically higher, but higher, you see? It's a spiritual realm, and that's the idea, I believe, that the Scripture presents to us. And here's why heaven is a real place. You know why it's a real place? Because there's a real man there. There's a real man there, the Lord Jesus Christ, the man in the glory. This man lived a holy life on earth. He was God manifest in the flesh. He died on Calvary's cross for sinners. He took our place. He was buried. And the third day he was raised from among the dead, has ascended to heaven, and is seated there waiting until he makes his enemies his footstool. That means he's coming back. There's a real man in heaven. Now, my second point here is, what is heaven like? You know, the Bible says more about what it's not like than what it's like. Revelation 21, I'll just read the verse. The Apostle John says, "And God of heaven, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain." That's a description of heaven. So it's more about what is not there than what is there. Sounds wonderful. No more pain. No more sorrow. No more death. If you've lived in this world any length of time, dear friends, you know there's pain. There's sorrow. There's death. But in heaven, there says that is no more. And that's because the Lord Jesus bore it. He bore death. He bore the pain. He bore the suffering. He took our place to make a way open for us to come into free of charge. Come, he says. That's the good news. I think it's good news. It's good news. There's hope. Now, for this one, I want you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. President Trump calls it 2 Corinthians. But I'm not going to go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to get myself in trouble. We'll just read 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Turn over right a few more pages to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And this is the story of the great apostle Paul, and he had experience of going to heaven. So let's just read the verses. Paul says, I know a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. he's speaking of himself. He was caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body. Paul didn't even know if he was in his body or out of his body when he had this experience. How that he was caught up into paradise. Remember that word? Remember Lazarus? He was in Abraham's bosom. And like the thief on the cross, he was in paradise. It's the third heaven. Here, paradise is called the third heaven. And Paul says that he heard unspeakable words which is not lawful for man to utter. So when he speaks of the third heaven, what is Paul speaking about, brothers and sisters, friends, visitors, young people? What is he speaking about? He's speaking about these three heavens. The first heaven is what you see in the sky in the daytime, the clouds, the atmosphere. The second heaven, at night when you look up and you see the starry heavens, the second heaven. And the third heaven is God's dwelling place. So the first heaven you see by day, the second heaven you see by night, and the third heaven you see by faith. Faith in what God has said in his word about it. And this is what we're looking at tonight. It's a core, actually, of the gospel, this message that God has opened the way up for us to come. So Paul went to heaven and he wrote about it. But what's striking, he didn't talk about what he saw. He wasn't blown away by what he saw. He was sort of blown away by what he heard. And, you know, you get excited. But Paul, what did you hear? But he said, I can't say. He couldn't say what he heard. In fact, that word is an interesting word in the original. It means like a sacred secret. A way to translate this would be inexpressible things that a man is not permitted to tell. In other words, he was not allowed to say what he heard. And even if he was allowed to say what he heard, he would be unable to say what he heard because there's no way to understand the concept of what he heard. That gets me excited when I start thinking about heaven. That gets me excited when I start thinking about heaven. And, you know, I used to operate a Christian bookstore, and there was a period where all these books about people who had experiences on going to heaven, they wrote books, okay? There was one called The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven. There's another one, Heaven is for Real. And another one's called 90 Minutes in Heaven. And I would never sell those books. I refused to sell them. And customers would come in the store and say, Brian, why don't you have that book, The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven? It's really interesting. I said, no, I wouldn't sell it. Why? Because it didn't happen. That's why I wouldn't sell it. Didn't happen. How can you say that? Some would get mad at me. How do you say that? It didn't happen. How do you know it didn't happen? Because I know it didn't happen. Okay? It just didn't happen. Okay? The Apostle Paul wrote about it. Okay? That's all we need to know. Right? And he wasn't able to say anything about it. And all he got for his trouble of seeing heaven was a thorn in the flesh from Satan. In order to tell him, keep your mouth shut, Paul. Don't get puffed up. Okay? And he didn't make a cent when he recounted this 14 years later. These people make millions of dollars from selling these books. Now, this one book, This Boy Who Came Back from Heaven, I read an account in Christianity Today a few years ago. And it said that, I think it was Zondervan, but one of the big publishers has now pulled that book from off the shelf. I said, oh yeah, here we go. The father, whose name was Kevin, the boy who supposedly went to heaven was named Alex, and he had been in a car accident and was paralyzed. And so the father wrote the book about how his son had went to heaven and come back. But the boy was just a little kid when it happened. But it turns out, Christianity Today said, the father has divorced the mother. He took off with the money. And the kid now, who was older, said to the publisher, that never happened. It never happened. Because, and you have to hand it to the young man that he was honest. He said, my dad just made that up. Right. There you go. The strange thing is, you know, brothers and sisters and friends, is the name of the father and the son, Kevin and Alex, their last name is Malarkey. Okay, if... yeah, for real. No kidding. So, if English is not your first language, if you're from Europe, there's folks here, and English is not your first language, just run into a Canadian or American brother tonight or sister and ask them how the irony of that name, Malarkey, right? I couldn't believe it. So there we go. So Paul was blown away by what he heard, but you know, the Apostle John, he saw heaven too, and he was blown away by what he saw. In Revelation, he describes it in Revelation. He speaks about gold streets and pearl gates and emerald rainbows and crystal seas. But, you know, these are just symbols, right, for us somehow to, you know, understand it. Man, crystal sea, a crystal like glass that you can walk on, a sea. What is that? But it's just a symbol for us to try to understand. You know, there's a story about a little blind girl, and they took her to a big hospital and where they had this treatment, and they did an operation, and she was able to see. And she opened up her eyes, and she saw the doctor, and then she saw her mother, okay, and the tears in her mother's eyes. She saw her mother for the first time. And then she went to the hospital window, and she looked outside, and she said, "Oh, Mommy, the sky is so blue. Mommy, the grass is so green. Why didn't you tell me it was so blue and so green?" "Well, I tried to, dear, but you couldn't understand that." And that's how I think it is with heaven. The Lord has tried to show us a bit, you know, just pull the curtain back a bit, right? And show us something, right? Because we couldn't really understand it anyway. It's so great. That's what I mean, it's up. It's way up. It's way, way up. It's way above us. But the way has been opened for us, okay, to come. Heaven's not a boring place, right? It's not a boring place. People are like, "Oh, I don't want to go to heaven. It's boring." Really? Okay, they have like sort of an image, you know. I got to hurry up. They have an image, you know, you're floating along in a fluffy cloud with a fluffy bathrobe, you know, playing a harp or something, you know. No way, no. It says, "We will see his face. We will serve him." That's what it says. "We will see his face. We will serve him." The Lord Jesus said, "Father, I pray that those of you who have given me will be with me, that they may behold my glory." No, you'll be busy in heaven if you go. Friends, if you go. You won't get tired, though. It's not by the sweat of your brow there. That's all done. But you'll be occupied. You won't be floating, okay? You'll be occupied. Number three, will we know one another in heaven? This is the biggie. This is the biggie, okay? And, you know, there was a time in the Gospels when Peter, James, and John went up on the Mount of Transfiguration. They were on a mountain, and the Lord Jesus was transfigured before them. His face became like the sun, and his garments were glowing and shiny, like the lightning flashing. And the Bible tells us that Peter, James, and John, and seeing the Lord Jesus like that, they were getting a vision of the kingdom of heaven. Right? They got a little taste, a little vision of it. And Moses and Elijah appeared there with the Lord Jesus, talking to the Lord Jesus. And the Apostle Peter made a big mistake, because he said, "You know, we're going to make three tabernacles, Lord, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But I read, when reading that once, it struck me. I said, how did Peter know that it was Moses and Elijah? You ever think about that? Now, they were really Moses and Elijah, and Moses had already been dead for, you know, over 1,000 years, maybe 1,400, 1,500 years, and Elijah had been already dead maybe, I don't know, 800 years, 700 years, right? Not dead. Not dead. Okay, thank you. That's the point. They're still alive. Their bodies were dead. Their bodies were in the grave. Amen. How did they know? How did Peter know that it was Moses and Elijah? Someone said, because they were having a Bible conference and they had name tags. I don't think so. I don't think so. You know, the Bible says that when we're there, we'll know even as we're known. You know, we will know one another in heaven. We will know one another in heaven. Paul's, in speaking of the rapture, he says, those that have died, you know, the saints in Thessalonica, they were worried about their loved ones who had already died. What's going to happen to them when Jesus comes back? And Paul says, no, the dead will rise first, and we which are alive and remain, we will be caught up together with them. That tells me we will know one another in heaven, together with them. You know, when Abraham died, it says he was gathered unto his people. That's in Genesis chapter 25. And Genesis chapter 35, when Jacob died, it said he was gathered unto his people. He wasn't gathered under their dusty bones in grave. They were still alive. As the brother said, they're still alive. He was gathered unto his people. In Numbers 27, it says of Moses, Moses, you're going to go up on the mountain, you're going to die. So you shall be gathered to your people. Yes, we'll know one another in heaven. That's a big question that people have. But if you've been sleeping up to this point, I want you to be awake now. Because number four of hashtag heaven is, who will go to heaven? And this is such a solemn subject. This is why we preach the gospel. You know, most people, most folks think that good people go to heaven and bad people go to hell. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says there's only bad people in heaven. People who have recognized that I am a sinner and I cannot save myself. And Lord Jesus Christ, I receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. You know, in heaven we see them worshiping the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, for he has washed us in his blood. The people in heaven, they're not singing, worthy am I. You know, worthy am I. I obeyed 10 commandments. I went to church. I was faithful to my wife. I was a good person. I was this. I was that. I was this. That's not what they're singing. They're singing, worthy is the Lamb that was slain, who has redeemed us with his precious blood. And I'm sure there will be people who have lived exemplary lives as far as human eyes are concerned that will not be there. If we go back to the rich man, think of that rich man who, when our friend Lazarus went to heaven, it says the rich man went to Hades. But you know, he had a funeral. Poor Lazarus didn't have a funeral. They threw him in the garbage dump. They didn't even bury him. But the rich man, now, brothers here know I have a sanctified imagination, so I've got to be careful. Okay? I tried to sanctify it. It would be a very struggle to sanctify it. But here goes. Picture the funeral of the rich man. These big limousines driving up to the synagogue. And these rich people getting out with their, you know, $800 suits, smelling good with cologne and walking in to the synagogue. And they would speak of the rich man, oh, he was marvelous. He gave so much money to our community, tax deductible, but he gave lots of money to our community. But what is the real picture? And we want reality, friends. We want reality. And so he lifted up his eyes in hell. So 5 minutes after you die, where will you be? Where will you be? I have a little poem that I wrote down. 5 minutes after I die. Loved ones will weep over my silent face, and dear ones will clasp me in sad embrace. Shadows and darkness will fill the place 5 minutes after I die. Faces that sorrow I will not see. Voices that call will not reach me. But where, oh where, will my spirit be 5 minutes after I die. The Bible says that we must be born again. The Lord Jesus said that to Nicodemus. You must be born again. In fact, if you're not born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God. And that word, born again, it actually means born from above, right? So if you're heaven-born, you're heaven-bound. Okay? If you're not heaven-born, you're not heaven-bound. And how to be born again is simply this. You see that you can't get there on your own. The Lord Jesus has opened up the way to heaven through his death and resurrection. And by believing that, receiving him, believing on it, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're born again. It's no mystery in that sense. Born from above. There was a young man who was almost like a son to me. Some of you know him or knew him, Mark Bowder. He came to this conference. He was a godly young man, a Christian, married with 3 children, little children. Last February, Mark was diagnosed with terminal cancer. And the first Sunday after the diagnosis, he spoke in our assembly church meeting. And he said, the worst case scenario for me is the best case scenario. But if you're not saved, the worst case scenario is the worst case scenario. Mark went to be with the Lord early in July. It was on a Sunday. I was at a conference in Illinois, and I got word back in Canada that Mark went to be with the Lord. It was Sunday, and his parents were there, his brothers, his sister, his wife, dear Haida, were there. And they knew that the end was drawing near for Mark. Mark had arranged his funeral, what hymns would be sung. He asked his best friend, who happens to be my son, to do the funeral and to do the hymns and the eulogy and the gospel. So they gathered around Mark's bed, and as is clearly that he was, the end had come near, they began to sing the hymn, and they're going to put it up there. There we go. What will it be to dwell above? They began to sing that hymn. And his wife, Haida, had her hand on his heart, on Mark's heart. And they sang the first verse and the second verse, the third verse that will come up after. Between the second and third verse, Mark went to be with the Lord. But the family kept singing the third verse. They knew that Mark had gone. And God has fixed the happy day when the last tear shall dim our eyes, when he will wipe these tears away and fill our hearts with glad surprise. To hear his voice and to see his face, and to know the fullness of his grace. This is what we're talking about, friends, tonight. Heaven is open. God is calling. He wants you to come. And you may feel that you have no hope. You're at the end. You're done. But you're not. There's a whole world that has opened up by God's grace. A whole new life, a whole new world, a whole new hope, all purchased by our Lord Jesus Christ through his death on Calvary's cross. I present him to you. I lift him up before you, the Lord Jesus Christ, crucified on the cross but raised again from the dead, all believing in him. When they die, their spirit will go, awaiting the resurrection also of their body. That's another story, but it's wonderful. That's just the beginning. And so, if you don't know where you are tonight, and I know there's young people who perhaps thought you were saved when you were little, you received Jesus when you were little, but now you don't know up from down anymore. You don't know where you are. And like a brother said recently, you're like a prodigal that never left. God is calling you. I pray that you walk out of this place under the blood of the Lord Jesus and not the blood of the Lord Jesus under your feet. Heaven is opened. God is calling. Let's sing the hymn and then we'll close in prayer. What will it be to dwell above and with the Lord of glory reign? anyone, young person, old person, whoever, wants to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ and the way to heaven, I'll stay behind. There'll be other brothers, and we can talk and pray. And we just commit ourselves now to God. Father, we thank you for the wonderful gospel of your Son, the gospel of God, the gospel of the righteousness of God. So, Father, we pray that for anyone here tonight that whose hearts have been drawn to the hope that God has opened, that you have opened up to them, Father, the way to heaven. And the Lord Jesus is that way to you. There's no other way. Father, we commit it all now to you. May the Holy Spirit continue to work. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus and for your glory. Amen.